Blog Talk Radio.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
You shouldn't have any doubt in your mind about what you're supposed to do tonight and about how you're supposed to do it.
This is your time.
Now, I don't want them to gain another yard.
We got to go out there and we got to take it.
On this team, we fight
and we shut them down because we can.
Welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, Jojo. I'm pretty excited about our show today. Of course, we've got Walt and Brent coming up to talk playoff football, and we've got Michael Lewis, assistant of Butler, coming on a little bit later. Mitch Stetter, talk a little bit about MLB and his career through the majors, and I'm just excited about the show. How about you, Joe?
Well, we also got a new segment we're calling Glory Days. We're bringing back an athlete from the area and catch up with him, and we'll be also being joined by Kevin Cartwright of Jasper and Ball State fame as well.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to Kevin. Of course, Kevin played a few years of basketball for me. He was an outstanding football player at Jasper High School. I should say this, one of the greatest running backs in the history of Indiana football. And, you know, it's kind of interesting, Joe. Not only do we have Kevin Cartwright, who was one of the best backs in Indiana high school football history, but we also have Michael Lewis, who is one of the best high school basketball scorers in the state of Indiana. So we have two outstanding, I guess they're young men yet, joining us on the Coach K and Joe Show today.
We're also three sport oriented here. Mitch Stetter was one heck of a pitcher as well. So we'll get with that. We'll get with Walt and with Brent right after this message.
You're listening.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
We're on double secret probation, whatever that is. We can't afford to have a toga party.
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is! Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now!
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by Coach Ken Schulteis, Coach K. And we have with us to talk Jasper football and playoff football in general, we have WITZ play-by-play man Walt Ferber and WJTS play-by-play man Brent Weibel. Guys, how you doing?
Doing well. Good to talk to you. Always good to talk to Brent.
Very good, Joe. It's great to have Coach K on here, and we're looking forward to getting the sectionals underway tonight.
Well, Brent, I'll tell you what, I missed you last week, and Walt's joining us this week, and we can't forget we've got one headed to the sunny shores of Florida, and we've got another one in Walt Ferber, the Hall of Famer. So we're really fortunate to have him join us today and talk some high school football playoffs coming up.
Well, we're looking forward to it. You know, the weather is kind of the real equalizer in football, I think, Kenny, and it looks like that it's turning kind of for the worse here. They're talking about even some sleet. They were mentioning that last night at the Jasper freshman football game and talking about some sleep tonight, and I know Walt can attest to that. We saw a sloppy field against Washington a couple of weeks ago, so the Wildcats at least are used to that, but it's a great, great equalizer, the weather is. It pulls the weaker teams closer to the stronger teams and the stronger teams back to the weaker ones, and I'll tell you what, if you get some nasty weather, it's hard to predict what's going to happen in a high school football game.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I look at it, though, Jasper has seen about every kind of bad weather there is. We had a couple of straight Friday nights where we had just literally downpours. And I think about the only thing we haven't seen is sleet. So maybe we'll see that this evening. You're looking at Jasper and Boonville. Obviously, Jasper's got to be the favorite out there this evening. And when you look at size, Jasper's a bigger football team than Boonville. And what works on nights when it's rainy and sloppy and nasty is the straight-ahead knock-you-over football out of the I formation. And, you know, I think even in the bad weather, it's, you know, both teams play on the same field. But when you look at the rosters, I would think it would be a little bit more in favor for the Wildcats in that situation. But I tell you what, it would be nice to have good conditions out there this evening. You want to see tournament football played, hopefully, on a fast track.
Well, guys, let me ask you guys a question. I really think that it's going to be a tall order for the Pioneers against the Wildcats. But I'm going to ask you guys a question. I'm going to start with Walt. Walt, when you look at the Wildcat team this year, is it predominantly the success of the Cats? And it takes a team both sides of the ball. I have no doubt about that. But as you look at them, has it been Nick Eckert's defense that has really brought that little extra this year? Or has it been the Wildcat offense? Or is it that much equal? Let me ask you first, Walt.
I think the one consistent thing for the Wildcats this year has been Nick Eckert's defense. It's been one of the best defenses I've ever seen. The front four have been outstanding. They've got really three solid linebackers in Huffman, Traylor, and Nick Eckert. And they've got a lot of guys that like to go. They swarm to the football extraordinarily well. The offense is pretty good, but the injuries on the offensive line, I think, has hurt their stability a little bit. Nolan Aarons is a sophomore quarterback. Has looked good. He's given the offense some versatility, and offensive coordinator Jeff Mock's been able to do some things offensively that aren't done every year with the Wildcats on the field. You know, offensive line, when everybody's in there, is very, very good, and you got one of the best running backs in Jasper history. And I know we're going to have Kevin Cartwright on a little bit later on, but there's a lot of similarities between Summersheim and Cartwright, in my estimation. Summersheim's a hard-nosed kid that will work hard to get those extra yards. You know, both sides of the football have been good, Ken. The one consistent, though, week in and week out, it is really hard to score against the ones of the Jasper defense.
I agree with Walt, Ken. I think the defense has kind of set the tone. I think if you talk to the coaching staff about this particular football season, they would probably have told you, and I think everybody felt this way, I didn't really know what to expect coming in to take on Memorial on the road and Southridge on the road, two football teams that the Wildcats had a lot of respect for. And the one constant, the thing that kept them in those games early, was the defense. And it allowed Nolan Aarons to grow into the role of quarterback, who, by the way, I think Jeff Mock has done one of his best coaching jobs, bringing this young man along. They knew that Nolan could throw the ball well, but, you know, you just wanted him to go out there and manage the game, not lose the game for you. And a very solid defense led by the linebackers like Walt mentioned. Nick Gobert's had a great year. He's been all over the field. Traylor's injured. I don't think he's going to be in the lineup tonight. They're hoping
he's not starting.
Yeah, I think they're hoping to have him back next week. They've got a couple other guys kind of banged up, so that's a little bit of a concern because Traylor has just had a phenomenal year, and then you throw in Corey Huffman, who was injured a year ago. Yeah, that's a real solid linebacking core. The 16 seniors has really stepped up and been great leaders. Teams tend, and you know this, Kenny, that teams kind of tend to reflect their coach. And I think you look at that defensive team, and they remind you of Nick Eckert. They've taken on Nick's personality, and it's, hey, we're going to get after it, and we're going to shut you down. And then like Walt meant, who Cole Sermersheim's had a phenomenal year. One thing that I will say I think has really hurt the Jasper offense a little bit this year and kept them from being as diversified as they probably would have liked to have been, and that was a shoulder injury to Nick Hale before the season ever got started, because they really felt like coming in that he was going to give them almost a two-back type situation, and had a very solid year last year and was a good football player and just hadn't been able to get on the field. So the offense is probably not taken as well from that standpoint. But then on the other hand, you've got Austin Ollis. Boy, if there's a better sophomore tight end wide receiver in the state of Indiana, the number 85 for the Jasper Wildcats, I'd like to know who it is.
Well, guys, you know, that defensive backfield I've watched them all year, and they've done a great job as well. Quick twofold question. Number one, is it confusing have so many Betzes? And number two, where do you rank them as far as a defensive backfield in the time you've done Jasper?
I kind of call them the law firm out there. You got Betz, and Schmidt. And you know, if there has been one area in the past where there may have been a little deficiency, it has been in the defensive backfield. But these guys, I think they've come up huge this year for the Wildcats. And you know, it helps if your front line is really able to get penetration and cause the quarterback problems. And I think it's been a thing. You've got guys up front that have been able to get to the quarterback. And on the area where they have gone up top, those defensive guys in the defensive backfield have done an outstanding job. And I don't have the cheat here in front of me, but one of the bets is close to at the top of the team in tackles. And you don't see a quarterback or a safety on too many Jasper Wildcat teams as one of the leading tacklers. These guys are able
Ryan.
To hit, too.
That's a senior, Ryan Betz, yes. One of the leading tacklers, yes. I would agree with what Walt says, but I would go farther, Joe, to answer your question. I've been doing the play-by-play of the Wildcats for 12 seasons now. This is the best defensive backfield, bar none, that I've seen them assemble. They are very adept at closing on the ball, and that sounds like an easy thing, but it's a very difficult thing to get high school young men to do, and that is to realize that they may be 3 or 4 yards away from a wide receiver, but while that ball is in the air, they can use their speed to close in and knock the ball away or deflect it or pick up an interception or whatever. And this group has the ability to do that better than any that I've seen in all of the years, in 37 years of covering Jasper High School football. I mean, I've seen them at least once in every one of those years, and this is the best group. Now, that being said, let's don't forget, and we talked about Schmidt and the three Betts, the three Betzes, but Scott Stallwood, who is the JV quarterback, stepped in for Braden Betts, who was out for a couple of games with a concussion and had a pick six against Mount Carmel. And Scott is a heck of a football player. He's a nice guy to have, too. So I think you've got to include him in that. They really are five deep, and they all can cover man-to-man, and that's something that has plagued the Wildcats sometimes in years past.
I agree with you, Brent. I think Stallwood would probably be a starter and probably the star of the defensive backfield for just about any other team in Southern Indiana. He's done a heck of a job, and whenever he's been called for, he's done a good job there. It's also good to know you don't want anything to happen to Nolan Ahrens, but he's also played quite acceptably at quarterback for the Wildcats, too.
Well, I think, you know, when I look at what Jasper has done on the football field this year, from a coaching standpoint, I've got to believe that Coach Ahrens and Mock and Eckert and the whole staff are just excited, giddy, because there were holes to plug and fill. They had to plug young people in. They had some question marks in what I call skill positions and key spots. And to see these young men really step up and come together, instead of being individuals trying to find their way, they decided to become a team and go their way together. And it's just been an outstanding year for them. And I know when you guys talk with the Coach Aarons, you know, what are some of his thoughts on where this team started and where it's come to? Walt?
I was going to say, you talk to Coach, and whenever he talks about this year's bunch, he has a smile on his face. He says it's one of the most enjoyable bunches that he has ever coached. And I've been around a lot of football teams over the years, and I've found that there's a reason the teams win and a reason teams lose. One of those things that's really hard to quantify is chemistry. And these guys, there's excellent senior leadership from the seniors on this team. There is no I here. All these guys don't care who makes the play, and you'll see guys jumping up and down and being happy when another guy makes a big play. All they want to do is win the football game, and all they want to do is keep playing. I think that's the sign of a team that's got a real possibility to do some damage in the tournament here.
Those are good points, Walt. I definitely agree with you. I personally feel, Kenny, I don't know how you feel about this being a coach, but I think that a lot of people underestimate chemistry. And I know as a coach, boy, you may not always know how to get it or have it on your side, but, boy, if you do, it's a great, great attribute. And you certainly know when you don't have it on a team for whatever reason, and I think everybody knows that. And I think these guys – again, I go back to the seniors. The seniors have been through this program. They know what's expected. You know, one of the most noted things about Jasper football, and I'll have people comment to me about this, they'll say, all your coaches played for the Wildcats. Yeah, they did. They all played for them. They know what it's like to put on that uniform and go out there with a target on their back every Friday night. And I think they've been able to get that across to these kids. But these seniors, they bought into the system. They knew this was going to be a tough season, especially the first couple of games. They didn't know what to expect, and I think really that was just a trampoline, a catapult to right into the season, and they've just gotten better each week. And yeah, Tony realizes this is a special group that just has that swagger. They've got good athletes. They've got good sophomores pushing those seniors and juniors as well, and it's just everything's just falling right for them to this point.
Well, whether it's, you call it chemistry, attitude, unselfishness, you know, everybody's got, it is very important. And even sometimes when you have great talent, you can't seem to get the chemistry right. Coaches work hard to get it done. But I do believe this, in all the years that I coached and have helped, even since I've been out of, say, full-time coaching, working with other programs, especially in high school and even in the grade school level where I have a young son, if you've got good team chemistry, you've probably got good parents, because when those kids go home, they need the support of the parents. They need them being positive and talking in the right direction for them and not against the team and not against the coaches. So I think it takes the kids on the field, the coaches in the locker room, and the parents at home. So, hey, before we move out of this section, let's talk about a couple other games that are coming up. First of all, we've got Modern Day and Southridge. Guys, give me your thoughts on that.
Go ahead, Walt.
I tell you what, this Southridge team this year has been extraordinarily unpredictable. They have the potential, I think, to be extraordinarily good, and they're playing well right now. They put together, I talked to Ron LaGrange, the former coach, about the game with Gibson Southern last week, and he said the first half against Gibson Southern was a perfect storm. They played about as good a half of football as he's seen a Southridge team play. They have some versatility. They've got a couple of pretty good running backs. They've got Connor Craig, the sophomore, who's ended up coming on strong the last several games. Perez, Ben Weber, they can tote the mail out of the wing tee, and they've got an extra added dimension when the sophomore Stetter became quarterback. And you may want to ask Mitch about that a little bit later on. That's his little brother. He is a sophomore for Southridge, and he's also able to throw to a couple of pretty good wide receivers in Thompson and Reller, so they do have some versatility. That's big boys up front. Cody Maester, one of the best linemen I've seen come out of DuBois County in a long, long time. But, you know, it seems like it's inevitable every year that Southridge and Modern Day end up playing one another on the football field. The last four games, it's been two wins apiece. But I know this Modern Day team, Coach Gable, just reloads down there, and they're going to be a very formidable foe. I think it's going to be a fun game at Raider Field on the field turf, with the field turf there. It's going to be basically a fast track no matter what. It's going to be a heck of a football game. I would think Modern Day may have a little bit of advantage, but I wouldn't be shocked tonight if Southridge comes up with the win. So, you know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. And, of course, Modern Day on a two-game losing streak, but Castle and Wright's a pretty outstanding opposition. That would be a ball game I would pay to see.
Well, Kenny, I'm in agreement with Walt. Southridge to me has been kind of a mystery this year. I was surprised at their game with Heritage Hills with the score of that game. Not surprised that Heritage Hills won necessarily, but just the fact that it was a shellacking it turned out to be. And likewise was a surprise last Friday night when they went down and played so well at Gibson Southern. And you talk about Walt was talking about quarterback Stetter. Don't forget that their dad was that's Mitch and the quarterback's dad was a heck of a football player back years ago when I first got into this business when he played for the Raiders. So that's a football family, and yeah, that's no surprise that young man's able to step in under center and get the job done. And oh, boy, what a terrific family he comes from. You talk about families and how important they are in character, and you certainly get that from the Stetter family, and nothing that that young man does on the field would surprise me at all. But I think Modern Day is going to be a very tough opponent tonight for the Raiders. The Raiders do have an advantage of playing them at Southridge. Probably not as big of a surprise or advantage as they would have had because they're playing on turf, which Modern Day plays on that as well. But Modern Day, from my understanding, has a lot of weapons, and they're very solid. Coach Gable down there, as Walt said, he just reloads. That's going to be a tough game. I'd say a tough up, but I like Walt. I would not be shocked if Southridge won, but it'd be hard for me to not pick Modern Day at this point.
Well, down here in the Pocket City, Modern Day is pretty solid. They've got a good running back. They've got a good passing game, so they've got the combination. Their game against Wright's last week was something to watch, and you could see it on TV, and it was something. And
Kenny, I will say this. If they make eight turnovers tonight, they'll lose. They won't win. They can't
agree
do
with that.
That.
I agree with that. I would say that you're correct. Being on the road and with what Southridge is capable of, Castle solid down here, Central solid down here. Wright seems to be peaking at the right time. So there's some good football going on in DuBois County and in the local area, Vincennes, Gibson Southern. All those teams are putting out some pretty solid groups. Hey, as we end this segment, Walt, I got to ask you something. How about the New Albany-Jeffersonville matchup? What do you got there?
Hey, Jeffersonville's having a great year. That, you know, on my tombstone, I'll probably have associated with the first team ever to lose in Jeffersonville. Jeffersonville had never beaten New Albany until 1972, my sophomore year. They won there, and they've won a considerable amount since then. New Albany's kind of been up and down, so the Bulldogs have a little shot tonight. But sadly, I'd have to say a little bit of an edge to the Red Devils.
Oh, you're
that's just
me. Albany, you're a legend there. Your status has just been dropped a little bit. Guys, I really appreciate you coming on. Joe is telling me that our segment's coming to an end. Will you come back next week?
Sure, glad to.
Okay, we'll look to bring you back, and we'll see where Jasper's at, Southridge is at, and what we've got coming up in week two of the playoffs. Joe?
Okay, and after the break, we'll talk to Jasper running back, Ball State running back, legendary Kevin Cartwright, right after this.
You are
looking for a dentist close
to
home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, grounds, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Back off, they jump this time. And again, the power goes to Kevin Cartwright. Cuts it back, and Cartwright into the second man. Kevin Cartwright in his final crack down. But Cartwright busts it open into the middle. And a nice tackle into the secondary. Try to get a number on who that was. We'll wait and see what the Wildcats do here. Fourth and seven. Big play for the Jasper Wildcats. Splitting draft to Kevin Cartwright. He's going to be close to the first down. And Cartwright pumping the reins. He's going to get it. And that was Kevin Cartwright. The sprint draws worked tremendously well. You're going to have to. You can't necessarily just count on a team cutting off on the routes and stuff. And Cartwright takes the pitch this time, breaks into the secondary. Cartwright breaks tackles. And Cartwright takes it into the end zone for the touchdown. And the Wildcats have done this in every playoff game that they've had thus far. They've come. And the power goes to Kevin Cartwright. It's sprung out, but Cartwright busts it into the secondary. Breaking tackles is Kevin Cartwright. Now it's going to be a race. We'll see if he can break it off here. Yoakum, and Yoakum able to push him out of bounds. Breaking tackles, running hard. The power this time goes to Kevin Cartwright, looking for his blockers. Cuts it into the outside and is tripped up. And they're going to get in the touchdown. Kevin Cartwright from 10 yards out into the end zone.
Well, what an introduction for Kevin Cartwright. Kevin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Coach. I appreciate yourself and Joe having me on today. It's good to reconnect with you guys.
Well, it's great to have you here on the Coach K and Joe Show. They were running some of those highlights of your career as a football player, and not just a football player, but just great running back at Jasper High School and in the state of Indiana. You did a tremendous job. But one highlight they didn't have on there, Kevin, was when you hit the big shot in the corner to beat Tell City at the buzzer in basketball, your junior season, I believe.
Yeah, that was probably the one and only time the ball would end up in my hand at the last second with the group I played with. But it did, and luckily it went down for us, Coach. It was a great time.
Yeah, it was a great shot and a great ending to that game that night. And I didn't have any questions when you received it, because one thing you've always known what to do is what to do with the ball, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, a baton, whatever was put in your hand, you knew what to do with it. So Kevin, before we get into your high school and career and college and those kind of things, and talk about what some of the things you might be able to tell the young people that will be listening, tell us a little bit about where you're at, your family, and what's going on. I know we talk a little bit on Facebook, and I get to see some of the photos of you and your family, but tell us a little bit about what's going on with Kevin Cartwright here in 2012.
Oh, I tell you, Coach, it's, I've been blessed all throughout my life to have good people that have helped me along the way, yourself and Joe included, and Tony Ahrens, obviously, who's the current coach. After I finished up at Ball State, I got into the insurance claims business. Had a little bit of background in that as a kid. My dad had a shop, and I was always kind of around cars. And I've been very fortunate and moved up through the ranks. And I'm now down in Atlanta, Georgia, managing a team. And we implement a lot of the same things I learned growing up in Jasper, discipline, hard work, those kind of things. But my wife and I have been married for 10 years now. We have four children, two girls and two boys. So it's pretty busy at my house. And
I can imagine.
Yeah, my two boys right now are 4 and 2, and they both love sports, and they're crazy right now. And so I'm just trying to pass along as much as I've been able to learn to them. They're a little young to get into the organized sports yet, but I'm pretty excited for when that happens.
And I'm sure you will be. And being a father myself and been on the coaching side, the playing side, and then as a father just watching my kids come through, Josh, of course, who you knew growing up, he's going to graduate from IU this year, and Paige is a senior down here in Evansville at Memorial. And Scotty, my youngest, who we had come into the fold after we left Jasper, is in sixth grade. But when you look at yourself as a father, and I know you're close with your kids, and I know you spend time with your family because all the pictures that you have are wonderful on Facebook. But when you look at yourself as a father, what are you going to be when they start getting into sports? Or are you going to be the father that can sit there and watch them? Are you going to be coaching them? Are you going to be telling them your coach is wrong? I mean, have you thought a little bit about that, what you're going to be like as a father to your children when they start participating in sports and school events?
Yeah, you know, that's something that weighs heavily on your mind, especially, you know, as you well know, being a former athlete and coaching. And I did, I do want to be involved, and I want to support them and however they need me to support them. My daughter, for instance, she dabbled around with soccer, and she got pretty interested in that for a while. And as you know, I never played soccer, so I didn't know a lot about it. But, you know, when you get in that situation, there's limited parents to serve as coaches. So I did 3 seasons as a girls' soccer coach, and that was very, very enlightening for me because I think I may be a little intense for that age group. But, no, I look forward to just being a supportive father, and you know, I think as you go along, you kind of fill the children out, and, you know, I think – if there's needed help in coaching, I'm definitely willing to do that. And I've been involved in youth football up in Bloomington when I was up there and served on the board. And I enjoy helping young people. And one of the main reasons is exactly what I mentioned earlier, is that I have had a lot of help along the way. And I look back at the people that have been an influence on my life and know how much I appreciate their involvement. And hopefully I can give some of that back.
Now, Kevin, I coach the JFL Saints, who Coach K says is a stacked team. I think it's just coaching talent. But I'll tell you what, you've actually assisted the team over the last 4 or 5 years because I obtained a tape of that the game I got those highlights from to put on here, the Heritage Hills game, and the sectional game. And I've actually made copies of that and gave it to my running backs and said, this is how hard you need to run the ball, because that's one thing you always did. You, if there wasn't a hole, you ran thread, run through it, and ran hard, and great things happened. So did you say you had a son?
Yeah, I've got 2 boys, actually. Noah is 4. He'll be 4 next week, and then Nolan is 2 right now. So.
Okay, if there are any football supporters out there, we need to bring Kevin back before those guys get a little older. So you can give a call into the Coach K and Joe show, and we'll give you his phone number to hook up with him. But Kevin, did you say you coach football down in where you're at now, or are you coaching?
No, I'm not in Georgia right now. I did when I was up in Bloomington. That was 3 or 4 years back. I coached 5th and 6th graders at that time. So,
okay. And are you still connected with the football team at all? Do you are you able to follow along with how the Jasper Wildcats been doing?
Yeah, I mean, I try to get as much information as I can. As Coach mentioned earlier, social media has been great for us that are not there located in Jasper, because, you know, I set up the alerts with the Herald, so I get the halftime scores and then I follow your post. You do a great job of keeping everybody out there informed. And I was excited to hear about the show that you and Coach are doing, two people that I've always admired and respected. And so I do follow. Unfortunately, I don't get back as much as I would like to. And I would, you know, that's something that I do enjoy. Getting back, actually, I talked to Tony a couple times when I was back watching Schmidt whenever he was, you know, tearing down all the record books and all that. What a great player he was. And so I made sure I got back every opportunity I could to watch him. But it's been a couple years since I've been able to get back, but certainly something that I enjoy doing.
Hey, Kevin, just for some people that have kids playing and they're listening and wondering about football, have you been able to take in some football, high school football in the area that you're in now?
Yeah, actually, I've gone and watched a couple games now here that I've been in Georgia, and we've only been here a couple years, and when I was in Texas, I made sure I got down and watched some football there, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Indiana obviously is a basketball state predominantly, but, you know, Jasper has a unique feel when it comes to football, and a lot of the things that Jasper does and promotes with our football team are things that are done in Texas and Georgia, which are considered to be, you know, powerhouse high school football states. I think, you know, the support that the community provides for the football team, you know, you go to games and you're playing in front of capacity crowds almost every time. And that's the way it is down here. And, you know, the main thing that I see is that, you know, there's a very good blueprint and support, and obviously a lot of hard work have gone into that from Coach Brewer to Coach Aarons and all the community and the coaches that are involved. And going back to the youth, I mean, Joe's coaching a youth team, and that's where really it starts, setting that tone. And, you know, obviously Jasper's a great sports town all around, but I kind of feel that kinship between the type of town, type of environment that we grew up in, and then what I've seen down in the South.
I think that's really interesting. I know that a lot of times when you're talking about Georgia and Alabama and Texas and some of the southern states, they talk about the high school football the way we used to talk about high school basketball here. And I think a lot of people wonder how our talent, how our ability stacks up. So it's great to hear that you're seeing some of the same things in your own hometown program that you're seeing out in those southern states. Let me switch gears just a little bit. You know, you had the great career at Jasper, and I'll tell you what, people who are listening may not understand that you possessed a tremendous amount of power running the ball, but you also possessed speed and quickness. And when, you know, sometimes you have the power back and you have the stat quick back, but you had a lot of that. You weren't afraid to take a tackle on, but you also weren't afraid to plant that foot and take that spin or make that little step and use your quickness to get by. As you moved on from Jasper and into the college level football, can you talk a little bit about what the transition was like, the change in the level, the type of players that you went up against, that you trained with, that were skill positions and such? I think a lot of times parents and even young athletes wonder about that next level. And I know in basketball, I tried to take players out to five-star camp and places like that so they could see what some of the other talent was, the really good talent, before they got into their senior years. But take us on a little journey from Kevin Cartwright leaving Jasper as a senior and into college and what the transition's like.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great question, Coach. And one of the things that you alluded to with the five-star camp for basketball is what I would say made the transition easier for me is, you know, I did go to a lot of football camps as well whenever I was in high school. And for all the parents out there with young kids and that have aspirations for that next level, I highly encourage that. You know, I was fortunate enough to be able to go to a camp in Auburn, and I went to a camp in Oklahoma, and you real quick get to see how you stack up with some of those guys. And so when I left Jasper and went to Ball State, you know, I was redshirted my first year, and we went in with a great class. You know, one of the things that I would say is that, you know, consistency and staying with your program and doing what you need to do and training hard. But also, you know, making sure that you're not one of the guys that kind of get caught up in the things around it. Because I think when I went into Ball State, we had a recruiting class of about 24 people, I think. And by the time I graduated, we had, I think, maybe 10 people left out of that class. And so, you know, it's highly, highly important as a parent, and hopefully I can incorporate this with my kids when we get to that time, but you got to maintain focus on your school in your football, because if you don't, you get caught up in too many other things and you get lured in the wrong directions. And unfortunately, we lost a lot of people because of that. But as far as on the field, you know, the speed, you always hear people talking about going from college to the NFL is a big jump with speed of the game. And I would say that that's the same from going from high school to college. There is a big difference in the speed level where you talk about, you know, my speed and quickness. In high school, I got away with some stuff because I was a little bit faster. Whereas in college, you got to really focus on technique and discipline and doing things the right way every play, because you're not the fastest one on the field most of the time. You know, if you are, you're in that elite status. But everybody else is just as fast as you are. Most of them are as big or bigger than you are. You know, I played running back, and I was a little on the bigger side compared to some of the other backs we had on the roster at Ball State. So, you know, it was important for me to make sure that I maintained focus on technique and hard work. And that's one thing that playing at Jasper, whether it be football, basketball, or baseball, any sport that I participated there, is that you learn to work hard and you learn to put your team first. And those are the type of things I think are important for young people in making that jump, because those are qualities that are going to do you well all throughout your life, whether you're in sports, football. You know, I'm in the insurance business, been successful so far because of those traits and qualities that I was taught at an early age.
Well, Kevin, you make some classic points, and I know whether it's elementary, high school, or college, and, you know, going to the camps, going to the clinics, I've had an opportunity to work with some of the great coaches in the game of basketball, coaching at the Nike All-American camp. The bottom line was, at some point you're going to meet, there's only a few that never do, but at some point you're going to meet somebody with your talent, your genetic skills, physical skills are better. And at that point, you have to have your head in the game, and you have to learn how to do the little things. And I always tell people, and I know my kids kind of look at me odd, but I would say this to my teams, and I say this to anyone, effort without purpose, it doesn't matter. You can put a lot of effort into doing the things wrong, but you got to have a purpose and understanding, and that's where the technique comes in, how to make that move, when to make that move, how to set your defender up, how to set the offender up if you're on defense. All those little things come in, and I really appreciate the fact for all the people listening that you talk about the importance of the classroom, the education, the effort in your job. I mean, all of that becomes a necessary part of making you successful in whatever endeavor or whatever you're doing. And it sounds like you understand that. And as you've grown, you've put those, you've got a good foundation, and you put those to work for you. Well, Kevin, will you come back? Would you come back and visit with us? And would you maybe watch some of the high school teams around your area and give us a little update on some of the talent that you've seen out there and what's going on in the Georgia area?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to. I mean, like I said, I try to stay connected as much as possible, and anytime I get to visit with folks from my hometown, it makes me feel like I'm reconnecting. And actually, it's been good because my mom and actually my brother's back in Jasper now, and he actually has a son too. I think he's 4 now. So it's good when we get back and try to connect with the family. But, you know, I feel a strong tie to Jasper, and I would love to contribute in any way I can.
Well, and you know, I'll tell you, your brother and your mom, I'm able to follow your mom a little bit on Facebook. Always loved her. And I do want to tell you before we let you go, Kev, Janet says hi.
Yep.
She just always enjoyed talking to you, having you around when we'd have the Thursday night pizzas and the other parties and the other things going on when it was associated with basketball. And she wanted me to tell you hello from her.
Yeah, and definitely the same to her, Coach, and same with you and your family. And I know Joe's got a couple kids coming up through the program, and looks like they're on the right track. So I certainly appreciate you guys reaching out and being able to talk, and definitely share my hellos with Janet and Liz as well, Joe. So.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, you know, we had quite a few listeners last week. If there are any employers out there that are football boosters, we'll call us at 773-897-6325, and we'll get Kevin Cartwright back in Jasper.
Hey, Joe, on any of this. Hey, Kevin, it was great talking to you, and we're going to have you back soon. And Joe, I think you said we have a caller.
Yes, we do. We have a caller calling in from Cathedral. Wanted to ask you a question, Coach K. And
okay.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, yes. Coach K and Joe, enjoy listening to your show. And I'm a Cathedral follower and just wanted to kind of get Coach K's idea on who may be coming this way if Cathedral's fortunate enough to progress through the bracket.
I'll tell you what, this sounds like Bill Sahm. Is this Bill Sahm?
Coach K, yeah, you're a good recognizer of voices.
Hey, Bill, it's good to have you, and I'm glad you called in because it gives us an opportunity to pick your brain a little bit. I talked with Joe about having you kind of as our indie connection on the Coach K and Joe show, and you know, I'm not sure who's going to come out of this area for Cathedral. I don't think we have what I would call a strong or solid favorite at this point, but if you could give us a couple minutes of your precious time and just a little bit about Bill. Bill used to be an assistant coach at Cathedral. He used to be with the NCAA for a while, so he's got a great breadth of knowledge from athletics in general and into football. Give us a little review on what's going on up in Indy football as far as Cathedral and Chittard and some of the other teams up there.
Well, Section 14 is pretty difficult, I think. Cathedral is, from a win-loss standpoint, it's not quite where they feel like they ought to be, but they have a set of good athletes. But you also have Ron Colley, you have Plainfield and Greenwood in Section 14. So it's going to be interesting. We play Northview tonight. I would suspect that we will prevail there. On the other side, Mooresville plays Lebanon, and I would guess we'll end up playing Lebanon, and then the winner of that game will probably be either Ron Colley or Plainfield. But there's some other good teams up here. Mount Vernon's head coach, Doug Armstrong, used to coach at Cathedral, and I think they only have one loss, but then they're starting out with New Powell, where Doug used to coach, so that'll be a rivalry game. And then, of course, Columbus East is again, having a real good season. So I think we have some good football ahead of us. It's a cold, rainy day up here. So kind of as you folks started the show, I kind of feel the same up here. Not sure what kind of tracks we're going to be on tonight.
Well, you have a son that's a pretty solid football player at Cathedral. Is it Zach?
Zach does play tight end at Cathedral, yes.
Yeah, he's a pretty solid player for him. And as we talk about some of the individual players up on the high school level up in Indianapolis, can you cover a couple names of some of the kids that you've seen out there through this year and even the last year that'll be moving on possibly to the next level or have had a great impact for their teams, their conference, or even in their class as individual players?
Well, there's a kid at Cathedral, last name Sandor, who has committed to Air Force from a football standpoint, and I will be admitted he's a great student, and I think Air Force projects him as a center at Air Force, so that's a great moment for that young man and his family. Another young man, last name Stanley, he's our kind of strong safety, middle linebacker type of kid. Your previous guest would be excited to know that he's committed. He's a Cathedral kid. He's committed to Ball State. So there are a couple of Division I kids at Cathedral, but then you have the great free/ strong safety at Ben Davis going to IU, and then you have the great linebacker at Warren Central who's going to Georgia. I don't know if the word is controversy, but some of the excitement up here in Indianapolis is there's a couple kids who have committed to Iowa, and I'm not sure the other school, but they decommitted, and now Indiana seems to be in the picture. So, in fact, there's an article in the paper yesterday and today about some of these juniors and seniors starting to talk about let's all go to Indiana and play good defense. So it's an interesting time up here.
Well, I tell you what, Bill, I hope that as we end this segment, I hope that you would consider
being our Indy scout on the football side and a contributor to our show each week. And we'd love to have you if you're willing to connect with us each week.
Well, I'm enjoying your show, and if I can be of assistance, it'd be an honor.
Well, you keep boning up on that Indianapolis area, and we're probably going to find a few minutes each week to bring you in as we go through these playoffs and talk a little football, because this show is about not just our local area, but it's about the state of Indiana, and we move on there from into the college level and the pro level, and I think it's great for all our listeners in this area to hear a little bit about what's going on the high school level in the Indianapolis area and vice versa. And the fact we have podcasts means that people anywhere in the state or anywhere in the world can listen to us. So we'd love to have you on. You're going worldwide with us, Bill Somm.
Okay. Well, Joe and Coach K, you're doing a great job. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Before we go to the break, we'll be talking next with Milwaukee Brewer pitcher Mitch Stetter about Major League Baseball playoffs and also some Southridge football.
You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, along with Coach K, Ken Schulteis, and we're now talking to Major League Baseball player, Southridge great, Indiana State University great, Mitch Stetter. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great.
I'm doing better now that Mitch Stetter's on the show. And, Mitch, I don't know that we ever got to meet personally, I followed your career through high school at Southridge and into college and in the pros, and we're excited to have you on the show.
I'm excited to be here, Coach K.
I did know Mitch, and he actually is one of my favorite players that ever coached at Southridge. You know, Mitch, I don't know if you know this. You probably don't know this, but I tell all my kids a story about, I won't say the other guy's name, blank, do you want to be a blank or do you want to be a Mitch? And I used to always talk kids about how much of a leader you were by example, you know, in on the football team, and how everyone would have ran through a brick wall for you. And they all say they want to be a Mitch. So,
well, I appreciate the kind words.
Mitch, first question, what do you think about the total collapse of the New York Yankees in the recent series?
I mean, that's just it's just baffling to me of kind of what happened, you know, towards the end of the year. They just, you know, had a lot of players struggling. And, you know, obviously it got so bad to where, you know, A-Rod was riding the bench, and, you know, paying a guy that much money sitting the bench is just it's not where you want to be as a franchise, I don't think. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, the stuff you read, it looks like, you know, he's not going to get traded anywhere. He doesn't want to, you know, permit a trade or anything. And you know, you still have 5 years and like $110 million left on your contract. So, you know, that's one of those sticky situations where, you know, teams get committed to somebody like that, and you get older, and, you know, age starts to catch up to you, and you can't perform as well. And that's kind of the situation they're in right now with him. And, you know, Granderson wasn't playing very well. Swisher wasn't playing very well. It just seemed like nobody was hitting. You know, you look at their lineup and you think, wow, that's one of the best lineups in the major leagues. And they just didn't perform like it, and got overmatched by Detroit.
Hey, Mitch, as a pitcher, let me ask you a question. Talking about the Yankees and not hitting. Okay, you're a pitcher, and you've been – you know, at that level. And for the people listening who are the quasi pitcher in high school, or they used to pitch, or they try to think like the pitcher out there during a game. Let me ask you a question. You're out there on the mound. You get the ball. The team isn't hitting, hasn't been hitting. How's that affect you as a pitcher when it's time for you to take the ball? Is it something where you feel added pressure? Are pitchers able to just put it all out of their mind and say, I'm going to go out there and pitch my innings and throw my pitch, and the rest will take care of itself? How does that pitcher approach that game or approach getting the ball, knowing that the team is in such a funk hitting a baseball? And, these are Major League Baseball players, the greatest hitters in the world. But how does that affect the pitcher going forward?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to think about that, and you try not to worry about it. But, you know, it is in the back of your mind that maybe the team isn't hitting very well, and that kind of gives you a bit of confidence that, you know, hey, these guys aren't hitting very well. And as a pitcher, you think, well, you know, they're not gonna hit this. You know, they're struggling right now, and I think you get it in your head as, you know, that, well, they're not hitting anybody else, they're not going to hit me either, kind of thing. But I mean, at the same time, you know, these are Major League Baseball players, and in the at-bat, they could come out of it, you know. So that's the thing. You didn't want to, you know, Detroit, you know, they didn't want to see, you know, first two games take a 2-0 lead and they're really struggling, and then kind of relax and get out there, and then all of a sudden, you know, Cano gets a couple hits, A-Rod gets a couple hits, and then the next thing you know, the Yankees are winning the series because they got hot, you know, during game three. So, you know, as a pitcher, you go out there and, you know, you just worry about what you have to do and concentrate on every pitch you're going to throw and execute it the best you can. And hopefully the hitters stay in a funk.
I think we saw that with the Reds and the Giants, actually. You know, the Giants were not hitting the ball, kind of like they're not doing now. And the Reds really had control the series, obviously going 2-0 in San Francisco and then headed back to Cincinnati. And I was at game four, and, you know, these guys are way ahead of me. I wondered about the pitching choice. I wondered about some of the lineup choices. I was worried that San Francisco would start hitting the ball after getting the win the night before, and all of a sudden they're out of that funk. And like you said, all of a sudden Sandoval and a few of those other guys start getting some hits, and now the momentum has really switched. And I think that really happened as well with the Reds and the Giants. If you're the pitcher for the Yankees and you're taking the ball, what are you thinking? The guys behind me can't hit. Well, how's this out?
Yeah,
what do I got to do?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's always tough when you know the run support might not be there. And, you know, sometimes that varies pitcher to pitcher. There's some guys that go out there all year and they'll win three baseball games because their run support was like, you know, 1.1 runs a game during the course of a year. And, you know, sometimes it's just, that's just how it is. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. But, you know, a guy might go out there and just every game he might throw six or seven innings, give up one or two runs, but always gets the loss or the no decision because the team doesn't score. But, you know, in this case where, you know, Sabathia went out there last night probably thinking, well, you know, you start thinking that you got to be perfect and because you're not going to score a lot of runs. And then all of a sudden you give up one or two runs and then you start thinking, well, I don't know how we're going to score one or two runs and you can't give up any more. And then you start trying to be more perfect. And then the next thing you know, you give up two-run homers and you're down 6-0 and you're out of the game. So that's kind of maybe what happened last night. I don't know, but you know, that's just an example of how it could go.
Well, you know, it is interesting, and now we've got one team in the World Series. We've got the Detroit Tigers, and Jim Leland, and who's been around baseball as a manager. He's been up. He's seen the best, and he's seen the toughest, but he battles and stays in there. He's just a good old baseball guy. And then we have Prince Fielder, who will be playing in the World Series. And you played with Prince, obviously. You know, I think he meant a great deal to Detroit, maybe a little differently than what they might have brought him over. Obviously, Cabrera goes on and wins a Triple Crown, so he kind of becomes a major support player to Cabrera this year, as well as having a great year. Tell us a little bit about Prince. Tell us a little bit about Prince Fielder.
Well, Prince is a guy. He's a great leader in the clubhouse. One of those guys that's he's well liked by everybody in the clubhouse. He's well liked by the coaches. You know, he gets to the field early. He works hard at what he does, and he's the best at what he does. And I'll definitely be rooting for Detroit for the sole fact that Prince is on the team, and I played with him, and I want him to win a World Series. You know, just a great overall guy, great family guy. You know, wife, a couple kids, and you know, the kids are always running around the clubhouse and stuff, and you know, just a great family, and he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he keeps his priorities in line, and you know, he's definitely one of those guys that I'll be rooting for, and so I wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully he can bring a championship to Detroit.
Hey, Mitch, speaking of championships and how you approach the game. You know, I coached Scott Rowland in high school in basketball, and he was a great player, and we've maintained a pretty good relationship since then. And when we talk about approaches, you know, he'll talk to me about how he approaches hitting and how he's done that over the years. And he says, I'm always going up there, even when I'm hitting off the tee, I'm thinking about the ball and that swing. I'm looking for that one pitch to hit in that at bat. It may go 4, 7, 10 pitches, but I'm looking for that one pitch that pitcher throws that I know is right, is the one I want. As a pitcher, let me turn that around. And as a pitcher, can you tell us, when you go to that mound and you're facing the batter, and I'm sure each batter is different on how you might want to approach it, you're working with the catcher, what's your approach to that hitter? Are you saying I don't want to make that one mistake pitch, or how are you approaching that hitter in that at bat and the pitches you're going to throw?
Yeah, well, you don't want to use the mentality of that. You know, you never want to have that mentality of, oh, you know, I don't want to throw a ball here. I don't want to throw the pitch that he wants or anything like that. You know, you definitely want to have the mentality of you're on the attack, and you know, so. From my standpoint, being kind of a situational lefty, where I come in and, you know, it's a big left-handed hitter up in a key situation in a game, like, I'm trying to get you out with every pitch that I throw. So, you know, if he calls first pitch slider away, I'm not trying to just throw a nice, easy slider for a strike. You know, I'm trying to throw the ball, you know, with conviction in the best spot possible.
And you're actually going up there as situational pitcher. I mean, you may go out there and literally throw one pitch. You're going to pitch to one batter. You're going to throw possibly one pitch, a ground out, a pop up. For me, a novice, watching you in a situational situation, how are you preparing yourself? I mean, did it take you time to go out there and come to terms with, I may get this ball, and it may be one pitch, and then I'm going right back out of the game? I mean, is it a different mental approach for you coming out of that bullpen, not even as a closer or a seventh-inning guy, but maybe the situation is one batter?
Yeah, it's definitely a different approach, and, you know, it can make for a good night or a bad night with one pitch. You know, it's like it's one of those things. You know, you come in and, say there's two righties sitting behind the one lefty you're facing in a close game, and you know you're only facing one hitter. So you go out there, like you said, you could throw one pitch and get a pop-up, and you're out of the inning, and, you know, you can have a nice dinner later and enjoy your night, or you can go out there and throw your one pitch and, you know, give up a double in the gap. It scores two runs, and then your night's pretty much shot. So it's definitely a different mentality, though. You know, like I said, you gotta make basically what I like to call out pitches. You know, come in throwing out pitches. No, you know, get me over curveballs or anything like that. You know, you're on the attack. You're throwing 0-2 pitches the whole time you're out there, trying to get, you know, the good action on your slider and you know, your fastball, throwing it with conviction and knowing you're gonna get them out.
When you go out there in that situation, you, man, the ball's just coming off your hand, and you're feeling great, your body's working for you, and then all of a sudden the manager comes to get the ball because you've done your job, do you ever just look at him and say, come on, coach, one more, let me go one more?
No, I let him make the decision. I let them make the decision, and I'll be okay with that. I don't want to step on any toes or anything like that. And some managers may not like that. Of course, there are some that probably would like it if you're, you know, trying to stay out there. But yeah, I usually let them make the decision.
No, I understand. You got to just let it go. Joe, are you back yet?
Yeah, I'm here. Mitch, just changing subjects just for a second. Southridge football tonight. They play Modern Day, and they have a quarterback named Stetter. And
Yeah, they do.
And I was just wondering. I haven't had a chance to watch Luke. What are the similarities and differences between you as a quarterback and him as a quarterback?
I'm not sure. Like he. I've got to come down there a couple times and watch him play, and you know I was he's a sophomore, so I've never been so nervous in my life, and I was telling my parents and my sister, and I'm getting ready to watch him play his first game, and like I've never had that feeling of like I'm so like nervous or worried about somebody else, and like my family was all like, well now you know how we feel when you're out there on the mound, and so I'm like, yeah, I guess so. But he's left-handed, so he's left-handed like I am. So that's one thing. But the offense is a little different. A lot of similarities, but they run some different stuff than what we used to. But I think he's a little more reserved than I was. Like I was more, I think, talkative and stuff.
Oh yeah,
he's pretty. He seems like he's a pretty shy kid, but from what I hear, he's really smart when it comes to, you know, some of the plays and that stuff. A lot of the coaches have told me he's a smart kid, so I'm sure he's a lot smarter than I am, which probably doesn't take too much. But I got to watch a couple games, and you know, I thought he looked pretty good. The first game was against South Spencer, and he played a good game, and. I saw the Heritage Hills game too, which that was a pretty atrocious game all the way around from everybody. I'll be listening in tomorrow, and hopefully they can get it done.
Now I remember when I coach you, and you always try to talk Coach Hanner into running the annexation of Puerto Rico. does Luke have a similar request or not?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of. I should tell him about that one. Put in some trick plays and stuff. But yeah, I remember we used to have a few trick plays and stuff. Basically, for you know, probably a team like Modern Day, where you know, I don't know. I think they've lost maybe one game all year, and you know, it's always tricky when you play a team like that. You know, you get used to playing other teams that are kind of a full house backfield, double tight end. Don't really have anybody split out, and then all of a sudden you play Modern Day and they're in the shotgun formation with three guys on one side and two on the other, and you're kind of scratching your head and like, how are we going to defend this? We haven't had to do it all year, so it's always a tough thing. So if you got a few trick plays in there that you might have to use, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Mitch, before we end this segment, let me ask you one more question. Take us on a little journey. You know, you've been at the pinnacle. You've been on that major league, and you work your way up, and then you're back in the minors and those kind of things. But as you look at this off season, how do you approach this off season and get yourself prepared for whatever the future is for you moving forward with baseball? I mean, what will you do? How will you work to get ready for next year?
Yeah, I've already started doing, you know, some workouts and stuff. Me and my wife, we're at my in-laws in Chicago right now. I'm getting ready to leave in a couple days, driving back to Arizona, and, you know, she'll fly out or whatever. So we haven't even been home yet from the season. But I started, we just had another baby, so we got two little ones here. But I've been fitting in time to do some workouts 3 days a week. But my big thing is I want to try to gain a little more velocity. I know I've lost a little bit of velocity. I had hip surgery two seasons ago, not just last season, but the season before. So, you know, I think I didn't start feeling good last season until about the middle of July, you know, and I started to get a little velocity back, but I need to get it back up. You know, I think if I, you know, mid to upper, you know, 86, if I can throw 86, I'm good. You know, a lot of times this year I was 80 to 82. Slider was 76, you know, and then I had some games where I was 84 to 86, slider was 80. And if I can do that, I know I can for sure get back to the big leagues, for sure. So I'm going to try to gain some velocity. I'm going to start my throwing program a little sooner this year and maybe I'm going to do a long toss program. But doing some forearm exercises that I haven't really done in the past. I did them once before, and I hurt my elbow, so I kind of stayed away from them. But I know I need to get a little more velocity to, you know, get back to the big leagues. And so that's kind of my main focus is to do what I can to gain some velocity.
Well, you've been through the ups and downs, and physical health is so important to an athlete. I know so many people don't understand, especially with baseball players, how many times they go out there, whether they're pitcher or position players, and their bodies are a wreck, and they're still going out there and trying to play. You know, Scott Rowland has told me in the past that there were games he knew he couldn't hit the ball. His body was that wrecked. But at that point in the season or at that point in his career, he knew that when he went out there and went to the plate, it caused the opponent to have to pitch the whole team differently. So I really respect all you guys go through physically and then try to bring it together mentally. I certainly appreciate you being on with us and wish you and your family a wonderful off season with whatever time you can spend together, because I know it's busy all year round for you.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Hey, Mitch, hey, good to talk to you, and hope to catch up with you soon. In the next segment, we've got – I'll tell you what, Kenny, we might have set the bar too high in this show. We've had Kevin Cartwright, Mitch Stetter, and next we've got to have Michael Lewis. So we might have set the bar a little too high. I don't know. I'm not sure what we're going to do next week other than ask those three to come back. So
that's a solid three right there.
We've had a great show, and we've got a ways to go, but we'll have Mitch back again, and he can give us some update on where he's at and just major league. You know, there's so many things that the person in the sport can tell us that we'll never know about. So we'll look forward to having Mitch come back.
Sounds good.
So, Joe, you going to take us to break now?
Yes. After the break, as I said, we'll be talking to Jasper Great, IU Great, and right now he's Butler assistant basketball coach Michael Lewis.
Well, you are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Cleats, you tell them. Sex lows at 33. 1 point down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Litter fly. In and out. Yeah, well, that's fine.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And now we're with Butler assistant coach Michael Lewis. Michael, I know when you let it go, it didn't go around and around and out very many times. I saw everything's most up swish right through. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Coach, it's good to have you on the show. And normally I call you Michael, but I'm going to call you Coach today because you've earned it. You've worked your way through the system. But before we start talking coaching Butler basketball, you tell us a little bit about the family and Nicole and your kids and get everybody up to date on what's going on in the home of Coach Michael Lewis.
Well, I'm too young to be called coach from my high school coach, but no, the family is great. I've got two young daughters. Avery is 4 and Emma is almost 1.5, and it's been interesting having two girls in the house, and it's a welcome sight to get home, and they kind of keep things in perspective for me. It's great to come home to a family and have them. You know, it makes you forget the rough practices or rough games pretty quickly.
Well, you grew up in a coaching family, and as I did, and then I went on to coach high school ball, and I have a wonderful wife in Janet, and I always said that the reason coaching was so easy in my life is I had a great coach's wife. She loved the time, she loved the team, she loved good, bad, ugly, she loved it all, and it was important for me to enjoy what I was doing, and I get a sense that Nicole is similar as a coach's wife for you.
She's fantastic. You know, I think part of it is we've known each other since fourth grade, and so she's known me, she understands me, and she runs the house. You know, if there's anything going on at home or the girls' schedules or anything. You know, she takes care of all of that, and I kind of do my thing, and she's been very supportive, and obviously I could not be in this profession without somebody that is as understanding as she is.
And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, coaching and there's other jobs, and why is it so involved? But it's hard to explain it. It transcends, coaching transcends being a job. It's almost a vocation. And it really is impactful for you 24 hours a day if you're not at the gym or you, in your case, not recruiting, not going through scouting tapes and those kind of things, reviewing practice. It's constantly playing on your mind. You're just constantly involved with this player and that player and how's the staff going to handle this and what this opponent's going to do. So your spouse, your partner, our better halves, we should say, it's really important for them to be the coach in the home.
No question. She's obviously done a very good job of that, and they keep me grounded. But you're right. You know, you the last thing you think of before you go to sleep is what is there something you can do to help the team get better? And the first thing you're thinking of when you wake up, especially during the season, is help, you know, how can we help the team get better? How can we win the next game? You know, how can I help, you know, Chase Segal get better? You know, whatever it is, it really occupies your mind 24 hours a day. But like I said, she's great, and obviously the girls help, you know, for taking your mind off those things. For whether it's a small amount of time or not, it's good to have them around.
Well, and it really is, and it is great to have them be a part of the journey. And if, you know, when I look back, I don't look back very often because I don't think it's healthy, but I always think, you know, if I can talk to people that are getting in the profession, and if I would ever move back into that spot coaching again, I think I would probably try to enjoy the journey a little bit more because it you get so caught up. But here's Michael Lewis, comes out of Jasper High School, 2,000-plus points, all-time leading scorer, one of the all-time leading scorers in the state, Indiana All-Star, runner-up for Mr. Basketball, very easily could have been Mr. Basketball. You move on to IU, a place that you actually didn't like growing up. You were a Purdue guy. Coach Knight, play for Coach Knight, become the all-time assist leader at IU. You move from there, and you go into coaching. Tell us a little bit. Take us through the journey that has gotten you to Butler at this point, where you started, the stops you've gone, and take us up to be now at Butler.
Well, I started, I took a grad assistance position with Coach Knight at Texas Tech. Was there for 2 years and got my master's and took a job at Stephen F. Austin State University, which is went from West Texas to East Texas. And I was in the Southland Conference, was there one season, and had an opportunity to get back closer to home in Eastern Illinois, and was there for 6 years, and was offered a position at Loyola in Chicago, and worked there for all of 3 weeks, and got a phone call and an opportunity presented to me here at Butler that was obviously very interesting to me and one I wanted to pursue, and extremely happy to be a part of the basketball program here at Butler.
Well, I know when I found out you had an opportunity to go to Butler, I knew you couldn't pass it up, and I'm sure it was difficult in a way because you just landed at Loyola. But I'll tell you what, you have worked hard, and I think the one thing, and I've told you know, the people around me, the one thing about Michael that I've really enjoyed is to see your passion for the coaching side and how really focused you are. You know, we talked a few times when you were recruiting young men, and it was really neat to see how you had connected yourself. Sometimes, you know, people who are pretty good players, they move into coaching roles, and it's hard for that adjustment. But I've really seen you take hold of it, and I'd love to see your passion. As you get out on those recruiting trails, Michael, and you make these connections, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're looking to do when you hit the recruiting trails?
Well, obviously, at the level that Butler's at, you know, we're trying to recruit the best players we can, and those guys at our level kind of separate themselves pretty easily. And then what I think it comes down to is you look, you know, at player A and player B, and they're very similar. One may shoot a little better, one may be a little quicker. You know, and it's more some of the intangible things. You got to figure out what the tiebreaker is for your own program. You know, is he a self-starter, is he a guy that you got to wind up every day? You know, how deep is his desire to be great? You know, is he a guy that comes in and works on his game and wants to be great and has aspirations to do other things? You know, and each program is different. And each year, each recruiting class, you may be looking at a point guard or a forward or different things. And you just got to determine what really is the most important thing for your program in that class and that fits a need. You know, obviously, you can't have a roster full of point guards. You know, you've got to have some balance in your classes and you approach each situation a little bit differently, and you want to find, for us, we base a lot of it on character. Obviously, you got to be a good student, but how are they going to fit with the guys on our team? You know, are they going to come in and ruffle feathers, or are they going to come in and are they like other guys on your team? Are they going to be a likable teammate? You know, how humble are they? You know, are they all those type of things, leadership capabilities, and so there's a lot more that goes into it than just going out and saying, hey, I think that kid can be a pro. Let's try to get him.
Well, you know what's really interesting, and I think a lot of people don't understand this, but you hit a great point. And I know when we were out at Five Star, and you were just a high school player when we took you out there to the camp to play against some of those players, and Dan Dockage came over to watch you from IU, and some of those things that you talked about were some of the things that he directly asked me as he watched you play. He said, you know, is this guy a self-starter? Does he get in the gym? You know, I talked to him about your AAU. I talked to him about the time you would just be in the gym over and over, the early mornings we would come in to shoot, how you would work on not just shooting left-handed but right-handed on those baseline drives. So you make a great point that I think a lot of maybe parents, fans, and even aspiring basketball players, both male and female, don't understand. It's more than can you score. It's more than can you pass. It's more than are you 6'9". It's are you willing to do all the little things that it takes that you don't get to go out on a date. You don't get to go out with your buddies. You have to miss a vacation. You have to do all these other things that put you in a position mentally and physically to play, and you did all those things. So you're able to take those experiences out and see that with other players at Butler. Now, at Butler, you've joined the staff. Brad Stevens, outstanding job, couple trips to the final game. I think he runs a rotation. His defense is outstanding, and it's even better when he's got the right people, but he just does a great job with it. Tell us a little bit about your position on the staff. What are Michael Lewis's responsibilities as an assistant on the Butler staff?
Well, I think that's one of the unique qualities of working for Brad is he lets his assistants take ownership. He wants our hands in everything. You know, he doesn't want lifelong assistants. You know, he wants us to have our hands in every aspect of the program, so when we have an opportunity to move on and become head coaches, that we're prepared. You know, and I think he takes great pride in having a quality staff, pushing his staff to become better, so they can move on and have other opportunities. And so I don't have any specific duties. You know, I recruit, we game plan, we scout, monitor academics, do individual workouts, practice plan, break down video. He lets us do a little bit of everything, and like I said, he's great at giving us ownership and letting us take pride in what we're doing and helping develop these guys and really getting a feel for everything that it takes to run a college program. So if we ever are fortunate enough to get those opportunities, that we're ready.
Well, there's no doubt that you made a good move, and it's going to be a great opportunity for you. You've got another young man on your staff that has some Southern Indiana ties. He's been there for a while, Matt Graves.
Absolutely, he's from Southern Indiana and had a great deal of success. Really, his whole family. He kind of started when he came to Butler. His middle other brother Andrew was in my class. He came to Butler, and then AJ may have been the best player of all of them, most recent memory here at Butler. And they all had outstanding careers here at Butler, and are Bulldogs through and through. And so we reminisce a little bit about our Southern Indiana ties occasionally.
Yeah, it's funny. Matt probably doesn't remember this, but when they were real little guys, and I was coaching at Washington Catholic before I came to Jasper, we would play White River Valley and those teams in that Greene County area, and those guys were always in the – our bus would show up, we'd get off the bus, and those guys were always in the gym ready for the game to start. So, they are gym rats. There's no doubt about it, and they've had great success. You guys are joining a new conference this year, Atlantic 10, stepping up into – what I would think, and this, that's why I'm asking you about it, it kind of changes things for you. Has it changed the way you recruit? Has it changed your preparation? You've got a bunch of new teams that you've got to deal with, and we'll talk about the schedule in a minute. It's a killer schedule. But tell us a little bit about changing conferences and the differences and how you guys are adjusting moving into the Atlantic 10.
Well, it's a step up competition-wise. Obviously, you look at the the league and the teams are in it, and it's going to be tough night in, night out. There's not going to be any nights off and no easy ones. And they didn't do us any favors with our schedule. I think we play seven of the top nine teams on the road. And this year, it's unbelievable. And then Brad has kind of taken the Tom Izzo approach of playing anybody anywhere. But if you're a college basketball, that's what you want. I mean, you didn't come to play, guaranteed wins. You came to see what you got and to play the best. So we schedule that way, and I think it prepares us, one, for the conference, and two, gives us, a great shot at large bursts, which, joining the A-10, there's going to be much more, coming from our league. Instead of having, one team like the Horizon did, we got, some are saying five, possibly even six teams, predicting six teams from our conference. And so obviously the competition is more. It has changed our recruiting. It gives you another, the East Coast kind of becomes more of a player for us from a recruiting standpoint. So it kind of broadens your scope from that point. But even with Butler's success, we've kind of broadened it and recruit much more nationally than they probably had in the past. But we watched a lot of film throughout the summer and here in the fall as we get ready to, move through our practices and get ready for the season. But we're excited about the move right now because we haven't played any games. We talk again in February, I may have a different opinion on the matter. But I think it's a great move for the university and obviously an opportunity to showcase Butler to a much wider audience.
Well, you touched on a point that has been on my mind, and that was the East Coast recruiting. Obviously, you've got a number of teams that are in that that are there from the conference, and so the scope of your recruiting, as you said, had already begun to be a little more national because of getting in those those two championship games, and the name now precedes you a little bit. It makes it a little bit easier, and when somebody sees that T-shirt, which I'm wearing right now, by the way, Coach, I've got my Butler T-shirt on, it probably is exciting, and yet puts a little bit more on, you know, we've got to recruit this area. How do we get in? Who do we know? Do we have graduates out there that can help us? Do you look to the people who are graduated from Butler and maybe some of your alumni who are in different spots to maybe help you get an opportunity to get in the door somewhere? How do you approach that, recruiting that new area like the East Coast?
Well, I think just the success that Butler's had when you play in two Final Fours, and they did a study that the exposure, you know, generated over $1 billion of free advertisement for Butler. When you get that type of exposure, whether you're moving around California or you're moving around New York, people know who Butler is, and they know what they stand for. And a credit to this program is those guys, when they were making those runs, they represented Butler so well. You know, when the microphones are being thrown in their face, they're saying the right things. And it's nothing. They're just being who they are. And that's part of what makes Butler is because of the type of individuals that are inside the program and inside this locker room. They did such a good job of representing themselves and the university in such a great light that the exposure that they got just you know, it shed such a bright light on Butler. And Butler obviously has benefited from that greatly. And they have the things in place that attract not only great students but great athletes for our program. But you know, you can't duplicate that exposure. You know, other than the opportunities that they had playing in those Final Fours, you can't get that type of exposure any other way.
Yeah, it was phenomenal and quite a journey. 2 years in a row, what an experience! And it kind of leads me into Brad Stevens' approach. You played for arguably one of the greatest teachers of defense that there was in Coach Knight. I was going to say me, but I thought I better not.
I didn't play any defense in high school.
you played more than you thought, but I pushed it, and I do believe that defense is just absolutely critical, and you played for Coach Knight, and now you go to Butler. And, Michael, I mean, when I watched and taped a few of the games and I'd watch them over and over and I saw the rotations and the helps and the recovers and bringing guys from backsides and rotating in ways that a lot of teams would really struggle with. As you've gone from the time at IU and the coaching you've had and then into Brad's, Coach Stevens, and your system now, philosophy, defensively, tell me a little bit about the similarities, differences that might exist between man-to-man defense with Coach Knight, under Coach Knight, and how Coach Stevens approaches it.
Well, one, they're similar in the fact that they're both great teachers, and I get asked all the time, you know, about Brad and who he resembles, and I think. There's a lot of Coach Knight and Brad in the fact of what he wants his program to stand for, the type of guys he wants in his program. Now, how they go about getting those, you know, vary. But the main component is they're both great teachers of the game. And from a defensive standpoint, at IU and Coach Knight, we were much more reliant on a help side. We did more denial of the passing lanes, and because of maybe a little bit more pressure out on the perimeter, we relied much more on help side. Here at Butler, we don't put as much pressure way out and extend it out on the mm-hmm. perimeter, and we rely more on rotations that you've spoken of, and kind of play, you know, just outside the 3-point line and in, and we really guard you. Within that 21, 22 feet, but both very physical defenses. But just the main difference is the help side compared to covering the same areas through rotations is the biggest difference. And part of that is the evolution of the ball screen in the college game. when I was playing, we didn't encounter a ton of ball screens, so there wasn't a ton of rotations generated from guarding that. Where now, you know, everybody is you see ball screen has kind of turned into more of an NBA style offense with all these ball screens because they're so difficult to guard. Take some of the help side out of it, and you've got to be able to rotate. And fortunately, we have some guys on our team that are able to do that.
And I can't wait to get up and see a practice this year or a couple. But one thing about the ball screens for those listening, as they come off those, you guys, Butler just does such a great job of getting those rotations. And then when you think the guy with the ball, when he thinks he can go, he looks in, and where the first pass might go to is covered. He tries to go to the second spot, and boom, you've got a rotation there just as quick, just as easy, and just as intently, and now you've taken that away. And I just really have enjoyed watching the defense. And you're going to need it. I've got your schedule here in front of me, Michael. I mean, look at these games. You've got Xavier, Marquette, IU, Evansville, the conference games. Vanderbilt, is Vanderbilt on your schedule as well?
Yeah, we're at Vanderbilt right after Christmas.
Wow. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, he says we'll play anybody we need to play to get better. You guys, that schedule is something. You'll have Evansville, I believe, up in Indianapolis, and mm-hmm. I saw that game last year, and I hope you have better officials than they had down here.
Well, I tell you what, you know, you look back and you don't want to put yourself in that situation. And Marty and his staff and team, you know, played well, and we didn't play well enough to, you know, to overcome that. And they played us well, but our schedule is difficult. We look at it as great opportunities. I mean, we get to go to Maui and play. You know, but the thing you skipped over is the most important, and that's Elon in game one, and that's kind of what we're focused on right now, and we'll try to keep focused on the process and the journey of the whole year, because obviously, as you know, it can get long, and we've got a great opportunity. We're going to play in Maui, we're going to play in Nashville, we're going to play in Cincinnati, we're going to play in New York, we're going to play in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Chicago. I mean, if you're a college kid in Indianapolis, we're playing the number one team in the country, you know, just 5 miles down the road in Bankers Life, and that's the Hoosier Crossroads Classic is a great event and creates a lot of excitement in the state. So we're excited about what's in front of us, and hopefully we'll be competitive.
Well, I'll tell you what, Butler is not only a great school for basketball with a great tradition, but it's a great academic school as well. You're located in Indianapolis, one of the great sports cities. I mean, as a young man coming in to play basketball, you're going to one of the major sports cities in the country. You guys have put together a schedule, like you said, takes them all over the country in some of the top venues. You're in a great conference now. It puts you in a position to have an even better opportunity if the young men play the way they should to make the NCAA tournament. I noticed St. Louis is in the conference, and Coach Cruz, a former U of E coach and connected with us down here, he'll be leading St. Louis this year since Coach is out sick.
Yeah, and you know they're not going to lose a beat. I mean, Coach Majerus is going to be extremely difficult to replace, but you know, I think Coach Cruz will do a great job, and hopefully we can get Coach Majerus back on the sidelines, because I think college basketball is better when he's coaching, and they've got a great team. He's kind of rebuilt that program here in the last 4 or 5 years, and I'm sure Coach Cruz will keep it going. But no, it's an exciting time. Obviously, we feel like we got a lot of things to sell here at Butler. It's a great program, great school with a great basketball program, and we're just excited as we move forward.
Well, Michael, as we end this segment, it was great to have you on, and Coach, you're doing a super job, and we're at least this family, we're just following you and looking for good things, and hope to get up to a couple practices and support the Butler Bulldogs. As you look at this season, what is the one key that the Butler Bulldogs, as we end this segment, need to do to find the success that you're looking for?
Well, we got to be able to defend, and I think that was. I thought we were a very, very good defensive team last year. We really struggled to score, and I think our system is good, but we've got to really take pride on that end of the floor this year. We've got some guys in the fold that I think will be able to generate more points and be able to score easier. But that, as you know, can kind of go up and down. But we've got to get better, as we've seen in our first eight practices. We've got to get better on the defensive end, and that includes rebounding the basketball. And we just got to take pride and be a little bit more competitive and hold each other more accountable on that defensive end. If we're able to do that, I think we're going to be in most games. But if you look back in the past years of Butler and how they've won, we don't blow guys out and we don't get blown out. We're in a lot of close games, and as you get down to the end and you get in those last couple possessions, we've got to be able to know that we can get a stop on every possession that we need to. Because I think it'll be a little bit easier for us to score. But we've got to be good defensively. We've got to be solid defensively, because, as you know, that can be there every night.
Well, Michael, thanks for joining us. I hope you come back this season and talk to us again.
Absolutely, anytime. And tell Janet I say hello, and anytime you want to come up to see some practices or some games, let me know. Love to have you. Certainly do that.
Joe?
Sounds great. Michael, thanks for joining us. In the next segment, we'll break it down with sports director from WBDC and WJTS, Kurt Guxell.
You are listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Are you in the market for a new fence? Look no further than the Willis Fence Company. Willis Fence Company offers wood fences, chain link fences, aluminum and iron fences, and polyvinyl fences. Give fence professional Joe a call at 630-2449 for a free estimate today. Buy a fence in October and enjoy 90 days same as cash. The Willis Fence Company, a fence for every taste and budget.
What day is it, son?
Thursday.
What day?
Thursday.
Time to play till the whistle blows. See you on the field.
And now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back with sports director of WBDC, WJTS, Kurt Guxell. Kurt, it is game day, right?
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, guys. Great show so far. That's very star-studded. I don't know if you want to visit with me or not.
You're the icing on the cake. What are you talking about? You're the cherry on the ice cream. You are the whipped cream on the peanut butter parfait.
The only reason he wanted to have you on is he wanted to brag that he's 3-0 in the prediction contest and you're 2-1.
Oh, that's quite all right. But it was great listening to those guys. Those guys were great players, but right now very successful, very well-spoken, and just a lot of good insight, like you guys talked about earlier, where you don't normally get from people that, you know, don't play the game like those guys did. That was cool.
Well, you know, and Kurt, you hit the biggest point. Weren't they so well-spoken? I was just so proud of all of those guys, you young men, who grew up in this area, and, you know, to have two of them not only in class but to play for me and to keep a relationship with them as we've gone on. And, you know, as coaches and players, you always have your ups and downs. That's just part of it. But that relationship, to see these young men continue to grow, and I'm just so excited for all three of them, Mitch and Kevin and Michael, and now we're just excited to have Kurt Guxell. What do you want to talk about, guys?
Hey, well, it's up to you. It's your show. I'm very flexible on this Friday afternoon.
Kurt, how do you think, I just looked outside and we're getting a little rain and all that. Do you think it's going to affect any of the opponents of Jasper or Southridge or Heritage Hills tonight?
I don't see it being a factor. In some of those games, Southridge, they play on turf. That's not going to be a big factor. Jasper and Boonville, it's not going to be close enough to matter. And I'm kind of thinking the same thing with Brownstown and Heritage Hills.
Yeah, Kurt, I was going to ask you, and I know Joe coaching football a little bit. When you talk to the players that are playing on turf, and Southridge obviously has the turf, and, and the turf is down on most of the fields in the Pocket City down here in Evansville. When it is rainy or when it is snowy, is there any slipping on the turf, or is that turf designed so well that the footing is always pretty good?
I think it's designed very well. The water just goes into it. It's supposed to take so many amounts of inches of water per hour and whatever. It hardly ever puddles unless you get a real big downpour. And Southridge is brand new, so it's pretty good. Rain is not a factor as far as the field is concerned, but nobody wants to play in a downpour. That's when it starts affecting the game, when it's actually raining during the game itself.
Well, you know, Mitch Stetter, you know, we had him on earlier, and Kurt, you've been listening. You know, Mitch said something that I thought was really interesting, and probably all our listeners can relate in some way. He was talking about when he goes to see his brother listen to his brother play, how nervous he would get, and how his parents said, "Now you know how we feel when we watch you." And as a father and as a son of a former coach, my dad's still doing great, by the way, for those interested, and growing up in that family and watching my brothers play, and then now as a father, I'd rather be coaching or playing. I got to tell you, still a little bit with his kids, and he's a crazy daddy, and I'd rather be playing or coaching because it is tough to watch your kids. And I've always said this, people said, "Well, what do you think about parents when you're coaching?" And I said, "Parents are great. These people are great people. It's just tough when their kids are playing, but once their kids graduate, they're great people again. It's just hard to watch someone you love, someone you care about, play or not play, or play well, or have struggles, or get yelled at, or not get recognized, and that's tough. And for all those listeners out there, and I know you guys can concur, sometimes watching is more difficult than playing or coaching."
Yeah, when Ryan, my daughter Ryan, played in the AAU National Championship game in volleyball her junior year. After game one, I make a quick exit and I will admit I threw up. and one of the dads asked me, "Where'd you go?" I said I had to go throw up, and he's like, "You're that nervous?" I said, in all the days of playing, it never bothered me, but sitting here watching this, I can't take it.
I can see that.
Well, when I was growing up, I used to go in the dressing room during tough games when Dad was coaching and just listen for the sounds of the crowd to see what it was like. And this year, Scotty's a sixth grader, and I was thinking about, I've coached in the last couple of years, my dad and I have, and we thought we'd take a break. And one day I was sitting there, and I was thinking about it. I thought, well, then I'll have to go and sit in the stands, and I'll just coach. So we signed up and decided to coach one more year with him. But it is interesting. I thought Mitch made a great point. Here's a guy that's been on the mound in Major League Baseball Stadium, and he's getting all nervous to watch his brother play.
Well, I can definitely understand that. I've told Mitch this. I've told his mom that. I'm sure you feel the same way with Scott Rowan, or when we watched Matt Mott play quarterback. I mean, I'm on pins and needles when Mitch would come into a big league game, wanting him to do so well, and that made me nervous. As a fan, it kind of dulls a little bit with a guy like Rowan because he's played so much. But that's how the early part of that was. I mean, you want to do them to do so well, it's kind of nerve wracking.
Yeah, you get connected. And speaking of nerve wracking, and who's number one in college basketball? Da 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 da.
It's football.
Joe, do you know?
It's football season. I don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, but somebody said it might be IU. Hey, Kurt, we've got Hoosier hysteria going on this weekend up at IU. Coach Crean's going to bring the guys out. They'll scrimmage a little, do some shooting, different things. Let's talk just briefly about our number one Hoosiers and what people going up to Hoosier hysteria might expect. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the stands. So we're probably looking at what on paper, Kurt, appears to be a pretty good year.
Well, they've got so many great players. We talked about it last week, how those guys are going to mesh. But every time you hear a report on social media or you hear Tom Crean do an interview, he's talking about how those star players work. And you set that tone, you set that culture of work. When they get in that gym, they're going to work. And there's no substitute for something like that. And he's going to keep them grounded. And that's what you want to hear. I don't want to hear about you know, Cody Zeller getting 25. I know he's going to do that. But I'm very encouraged to hear that he's the hardest worker on the team. And it just goes down the line. And if your good guys are doing that, it's going to trickle down. And that's one thing with Crean. They've developed that culture of work. So after that, you know, they're in pretty good shape.
And Kurt, you know, we talked with Michael Lewis and another great Indiana college program, Butler. I mean, the schedule, Xavier, Marquette, IU, Vanderbilt, my gosh, they're taking on some teams now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, it's whatever your philosophy is. In the early days of a program, like when Crean was building Indiana, you couldn't do that. But as you elevate your program, you can, you know, mix in some good teams in your schedule. And Butler's at that place right now where they, with veterans, can play that tough schedule to get them ready for future games down the line and possibly the NCAA tournament. And scheduling, and you can talk to Michael about this, is a whole different ball of wax, too. And there's a lot of different ways to go about it, as we see in college football, you know, in preseason games or pre-conference games. So, yeah, that's interesting. Butler and Indiana both have pretty decent schedules.
Well, I know Gonzaga's on that schedule too, but let's turn the tide a little bit here and let's go back to football. Joe, do we hit on high school with Kurt, or do we move on to college? Where do you want to go with this?
Let's talk a little high school. That's the hot topic tonight. The beginning of the sectional starts tonight.
Modern day in Southridge, Kurt. Modern day's got Gable in the backfield. They've got a good quarterback. They're strong lines. They did make some mistakes against Rice, which was turned out to be one heck of a football game to watch. But you've seen Southridge all year long. You know about the rivalry come tournament time with Modern Day and Southridge. Let's talk a little Raider football here before we move on.
Well, this will be their fifth meeting since Modern Day has gone back to 2A, and it's the rubber game, if you will. It's tied at two games apiece, and the other two games that Southridge didn't win, they were very close in. And Modern Day sees a whole different style of football when they deal with Southridge. Big lineman, big running game, hard-nosed football. And that's the thing that Southridge brings to that game, and it drives Modern Day nuts. I'm not saying that, you know, that Modern Day won't come in there and have their way tonight. Who knows? But it's just a different kind of matchup for Modern Day than they're used to seeing, and that's why Southridge always plays them very well, if not them winning the game.
Offensively, I know what we're going to say, turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. You can't have turnovers. But when you look at Southridge offensively and what you know about Modern Day, what could be a key, one or two keys for Southridge on the offensive side?
Well, Southridge is going to have to keep the ball away from Modern Day. And when Southridge is playing good football, they'll take that opening kickoff or the kickoff whenever they get it and go down the field 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 plays, 67, 70, 75, 80 yards, and amass 6 or 7 minutes off the clock. And it's important that they do that, but it's also important to cap those drives off with a score, to go down there and mess around and turn the ball over on downs or go down the field and fumble the football inside the opponent's 10. That's not going to cut it against a Modern Day team. They're going to have those long drives, and they are going to have to cap those drives with scores. And when Modern Day has the football, Southridge's got to be very assignment-oriented, not give Modern Day any cheap scores, make them put together drives. I mean, you watch some of that Evansville football, which you do, and a lot of those scores down there are pretty easy. I mean, one or two plays, and defense is a foreign language down there sometimes.
Well, you know,
me,
yeah,
that's going to be the key.
You know,
are you going to argue with me like the rest of the Evansville people, or are you going to tell the truth?
Well, you know,
I'm just kidding you, Coach.
I know. You're rough on me, Kurt, but that's good. That's why you're on. You keep it straight. You keep it honest.
You know,
hey, let me ask you this. Defensively, you're looking at a modern-day team that can run the ball, and they can throw the ball. When you look at Southridge from a defensive standpoint, what's their strength? What might be their Achilles? How do you view that part of the game tonight?
Well, Southridge is going to have to make Modern Day one-dimensional. They're going to have to win first or second down to force Modern Day to throw. But if their play caller is hot and they're throwing the ball on first and second down and in short yardage situations ahead of the chains, they're going to have success. you know, against modern day, you've got to make them one-dimensional, whether it be if they have to throw the ball all the time, they have to run the ball all the time. You got to take something away. You know that in sports and anything. You got to take something away, and if they can do that, they'll have success, and it'll be the same way with modern day against Southridge's offense. If they can stuff that run when Southridge runs the wing tee and force Southridge into a passing type of game, the Raiders are going to be in trouble. So that's going to be the who wins first and second downs on both sides of the line of scrimmage.
You know, Kurt, looking at the 4A sectional with Jasper, you know, Jasper Boonville, I know Coach Aarons would probably knock me over the head if he heard me say this, but, you know, they should win tonight. And, you know, and we're all hoping then for a Seymour win so we can guarantee Jasper a home game in the finals. But, you know, everyone thought Central. Well, you know, I always knew people were saying Wrights was down, but, you know, Wrights beat a really good modern-day team last week.
Wrights is always good. I mean, they and Castro are the good teams in that league along with modern day. And, yeah, Jasper's going to take care of Boonville tonight. Let's be honest. Let's not beat around the bush about that. It's not there. It's not Jasper's fault, but that's just the way it's going to be. But, yeah, Wrights is looming. And, again, when they play Central or if that's who they play, we'll see what happens there. But, I can see a Jasper-Wrights game looming.
College football, Kurt. Alabama. I think Alabama – this is my opinion. Alabama, I believe, is heads above heels above the rest of the program.
Not so fast. Did you not watch
Oregon,
that game last night?
Is Oregon close?
They're very close. You see them, they had 43 points with 9 minutes to go in the second quarter against an Arizona State defense that was ranked very high. I mean, they've got so many weapons, and you talk about Oregon defensively, they've got 9 of their 11 guys are fifth-year seniors. You may dismiss playing out there as a bad defensive team, but Oregon's, they're pretty good, and they can flat out score. And Alabama lost a lot of guys on defense. They're really good on defense right now, but that's going to be a great game if they play later on. But Alabama and Oregon, I'll give you that. Those two are top of the line right there.
You know,
say then that as we look at the top 25, Alabama, Oregon, Florida, those top three, you feel comfortable with that top three right there?
I feel comfortable with the top two. I mean, I got to see Florida play a little more. And after that, you know, it's a pick. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. I mean, Notre Dame held on last week and able to beat Stanford. They've got a game looming with Oklahoma in Norman next week after playing BYU tomorrow. I mean, everybody's going to jockey in for those top 10 places or whatever for the BCS and try to stay atop there. But, you know, I just throw a blanket over the rest of the teams other than Alabama and Oregon. That's the way I look at it. And teams will have their chance to play up and get up those rankings and up those polls as the season closes.
Okay,
recent
guys.
Rumor, Bill, and you know there's going to be plenty all year long, Saban to the Cleveland Browns are interested in Saban. I believe Saban was an assistant coach back in Cleveland with Belichick. I'm not sure, but I think he was. You think there's anything to a Saban to Cleveland Browns?
How much money are they going to pay him? He'll chase that dollar. He'll chase the dollar, trust me.
And, well, you get to a point. His career has kind of been like that. He does a great job, and then here's this offer. Maybe I'll give this a try. But also, I was listening to Dan Dockage the other day, and Dan said that he believes the Big Ten, basketball-wise, is just stacked. Do you agree with that?
We're off football already. Okay.
Just jumping around, real quick.
Okay, we got a prediction
contest,
too.
Hey, we'll get to it, Joe. Hold on. You looked at basketball. I mean, Indiana, Michigan, very good. I mean, Ohio State, they're going to be very good. And, you know, you throw everybody, you know, Wisconsin, Purdue, Illinois with the new coach, Michigan State, you can't forget about them. I mean, it's going to be a battle every night out, and that's how it should be. I mean, you know, you watch some of this football, high school, college, it's not any fun. But this, when you get into Big Ten basketball, it's going to be like, you know, years past. I mean, I'm not interested in seeing somebody win on their home court. Somebody go into an opposing arena or go into somebody else's field and win a conference game. And that's where you measure a team. And, you know, I agree, Big Ten basketball, super.
Okay, guys.
Predictions, Joe.
Real quick prediction. We've got 60 seconds, okay?
Hey,
so just give me a name.
Give me a Danny Hope update.
No.
Give me a Danny Hope update, Joe.
IU versus Navy.
Give me a Danny Hope update.
Yeah, hopefully he's gone. IU versus Navy.
Well, that's Indiana's going to have to deal with the Navy option attack. But Indiana scores a lot of points. I'm going to give the win to the Hoosiers, who could reel off a couple here in a row, get above 500 if they play well. I'm going to take Indiana.
Okay,
I'm
going to
agree. I think the offense is clicking, and I think they can shore up defensively enough on Navy to get the win.
Okay, real quick, one last one. BYU and Notre Dame, we've got 12 seconds.
Notre Dame, not even
Notre
close.
Dame.
They roll.
And that'll do it for this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Join us next week at 11 o'clock on Friday. Log on at www.jaspertodayonline. Until next week, I'm Joe Milligan.